Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
Justice Minister Andrew Little is back for his weekly political catch-up. Today, his new anti-terrorism legislation has hit a potential bump in the road with National pulling its support. Plus, MediaWorks are selling TV3. What should the government do? Should they be stepping in? Have a listen.
Last week, we talked about your anti-terrorism bill, and since then, there has been a bit of trouble, it appears, getting National across the line. Can you talk me through what's happened since we last spoke?
Yeah, I should just get it on the record too. National were across the line. They confirmed in writing that they would support it, and it was after that that they then sought to negotiate publicly some changes. I don't know what their stance is on it now, because they've gone from supporting it to wanting things, to possibly voting against it, to walking back from their threats to vote against it. So I had a meeting with them on Monday. I have to say I've also been meeting with the Green Party. And talk through some of the things that they would want on it. Look, it's not for me to give anything away at this point, but I'm confident that we will have the legislation passed by the end of the year. I think we need to get it in place, because I think the risk that the handful of people who would come under that legislation and who are poised to return to New Zealand, that risk is rising now, and we have to have something in place.
So is there a chance that if National decide to vote against it, you may now have the Green Party support and that would get it across the line?
Look, it's not for me to speak for the Green Party, but I have to say I have had discussions with them. They've been constructive, but it'll be for them to determine what they wish to do.
As you say, the National Party have played some of this quite publicly, and there's been a few accusations thrown both ways, really. How would you describe your negotiating style?
Look, I know the National Party has described it as belligerent, but that's them. That's the self-serving statement. And I've seen a piece in the Herald today which is just full of factual inaccuracies. I negotiate in good faith and openly. When the National Party approached me for a meeting to talk about their issues or their claims that they had already publicised, I readily agreed to that. We had a good meeting on Monday. We went through it. I put them to the test. I basically put it on them to justify what they wanted to do and why. Following that meeting, about 45 minutes afterwards, I went back to them and said, here's four things I think we can agree on that accommodated, at least in part, but substantially in part, the sort of changes that they wanted to make. Their response to that within minutes was to come back and say, but we want these extra things as well. And it's not true to say I haven't heard anything since. I've since had a further request for another meeting.
So will you be meeting again?
Look, I'll sort of gauge that throughout the day today whether a meeting is necessary. Again, I'm unsure about what the actual stance is. They, having said they would support it, they've since threatened to not support it. I've asked them for an explanation about the changes that they wanted to make, some of which I think are draconian. So indefinite, these orders being available on an indefinite basis to a person who would be subject to one is just not something that in a civilised democracy we should tolerate. Likewise, having them apply to people between the age of 14 and 18 when there is, at least as far as New Zealand is concerned, absolutely no indication that there is anybody around that age bracket to whom these orders could possibly apply. Why would we provide for that? So there's things like that that look like chest beating and, we're tougher than the next bloke sort of thing, which is not a way to make good law and good policy. So look, I pushed back on that. I've asked them to justify it.
And you don't think they can?
Well, if I thought they could, I probably would have agreed with them. I have agreed with them on a number of other things. So it's not... I approach these on the basis of what is good law and also what is good for New Zealand and our standing in the rest of the world in terms of our approach to human and civil rights. It's always a balance. When you're dealing with potentially dangerous people, is getting that balance between protecting the community but also maintaining our reputation for a country that is responsible when it comes to encroachments on civil and human rights. So that's the approach I've taken. As I say, there were some things from the National Party that I think were constructive suggestions, but the quality of the engagement has been pretty poor. I contrast that to when we were in opposition and we were dealing with legislation such as particularly dealing with, you know, terrorist activities and so on, is that the National Party would come to us, as we did with the National Party as we've been in government. We would have a discussion about the things that would concern us. They would introduce the legislation. We'd continue that discussion, usually in public as well, but also continuing the talks between ourselves as we seek, you know, we sought to get, you know, legislation in a good form. On every occasion, we reached agreement, and we didn't engage in the kind of the public chest beating that seems to have characterised this this piece of legislation.
Something else that's come up since we last talked is MediaWorks have put TV3 up for sale. If it was up to you, is this something that the government should be intervening on to try and even the playing field in our television networks in New Zealand?
Look, it's a tricky one because I think, I think it's always wrong for politicians to be called upon to say things that look as if they favour or don't favour particular broadcasts and stuff. I would just say MediaWorks and News Hub, I think they've got some brilliant journalists. They produce some brilliant material, you know, news reports and documentaries, and in fact, cutting-edge stuff. I think it's a high-quality news team they've got. The problem is they are a private business, but that's it. They get public money, so a lot of their current affairs programs are funded through New Zealand On Air. They get public money in the same way that TVNZ does. TVNZ's principal source of revenue is their advertising. They also qualify for public money. And there's we have this argument about, do we have a state broadcaster along the lines of ABC in Australia, to some extent BBC in the UK, where they're not commercial, they're a public service broadcaster, they're there to do the things that, you know, you couldn't make money out of ordinarily. TVNZ has got the sort of hybrid model. That said, you know, the amount of taxpayer money they get is pretty modest. The TV3's argument seems to be, we're a private broadcaster, we're in trouble, but we're up against the sort of state-owned broadcaster. If we had a bit of state money, then we'd be okay, but that would then make TV3 a state broadcaster. So the logic of the argument isn't compelling. I hope that MediaWorks, either through the sale or through whatever other means, can find a way through this. I think it is healthy that there are, you know, there's more than one free-to-air TV news channel and channel, and that we can preserve the good quality journalism that comes out of News Hub. I hope we can find a way through this.
But if they don't find a buyer, you don't think the government should step in and TV3 would just have to disappear effectively?
Yeah, I think, but then that's the thing about the state then owning two ostensibly competing TV broadcasters. I'm not quite sure what the merits of that is. I mean, I think part of the challenge is for all broadcasters, in fact for all news outlets, is that the whole media landscape is changing, and to the point where you now have got, you know, one of our biggest telcos now is effectively becoming a broadcaster because of the convergence of technology and the way people now get their news and information. And this is, you know, what MediaWorks is up against, TVNZ is up against it too. As indeed are the two formerly big newspaper publishers who are now pretty much producing content online. And indeed, even radio is up against this too. It might be said too about MediaWorks is that They do have their profitable arm, which is their radio arm. They've made the commercial decision that they won't allow a cross-subsidy between their radio business and their TV business, which is why they put the TV business up for sale. But that's a commercial decision they made. They could, if they retained both TV and radio and whatever else they do, make a whole conglomerate work, but they've just chosen not to do that.
And there's also, on the flip side, been a lot of comment recently about TVNZ effectively being off the hook. Do you think that they should be, more scrutinised in terms of their paying their dividend, for example?
Yeah, I think, the argument is that because the shareholding minister said, right, you don't have to pay a dividend this year, therefore you're not acting as a truly commercial operator in the way that, for example, MediaWorks is required to produce a dividend for their shareholders. Yeah, look, I mean, that the reality is, if you're a state-owned enterprise, the reason why the state owns some of these things is because if they didn't, then stuff that it is in the public interest to be provided and to have there wouldn't be provided. It wouldn't be there. The market didn't at the time that, you know, TV was a thing and coming on stream, the private market simply wasn't able to provide the capital and the investment to get that stuff up and running. You say the same about you know, the telephone companies and the power companies. When all those things were happening, the private markets didn't invest in those, weren't interested in them. So the state did, and we take all that stuff for granted now. And of course, a lot of private sector folks are saying, "Oh well, they're now sort of commercially viable. We want our share." That was the argument of the 1980s and 1990s. But is TVNZ being let off the hook? No, I think it's the state saying, being responsible, saying in a changing media landscape, this big broadcaster of ours, we want to preserve it because there is a public service interest there. At the moment, our government is kind of reviewing what we might do with public service broadcasting, and we shouldn't let TVNZ collapse. So that's kind of where that's at.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time, Minister. We'll talk again next week.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire.